Hello and welcome again, everyone. My name is David Greenwalt, and I am the founder of The Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. I am a lifestyle coach specializing in body transformation, and you can find out more about my companies, products, and services by visiting my website at www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.leannesslifestyle.com. The interview you are about to hear, I think, literally speaks for itself. It's with a true inspiration, and his name is Poche Noel. There really isn't any further setup necessary. Just please give this 45-minute interview many listens, and I think you, too, will feel fortunate for the good in your life, and you'll feel inspired by Poche's story. Hello, everyone. My name is David Greenwalt, and today I have a very special guest with me on the phone. I need to set this up just a bit, so please listen and don't tune out this part. I promise you'll hear from my guest in just a moment or two. You know, until a few weeks ago, and I'm talking just a few weeks ago, I had never even heard of my guest. I'd never met him at all. His name is Poche Noel. The first time I ever heard of Poche is when I saw him come onto the stage at the Mr. Tennessee State Bodybuilding Competition. And if you're a bodybuilder, you know that any state-level competition is tough. It's got a lot of quality athletes in it, and this was no different. And after seeing Poche come compete in the Mr. Tennessee State Bodybuilding Competition, I'm here to tell you, I cannot see ever forgetting my guest. Poche entered the stage in fantastic physical condition. I'm talking bodybuilding condition. He was muscular, and he was very lean. He more than deserved to be on that stage. There was no doubt also that this man was going to place quite high in his class. But even that isn't what drew my eye and the eyes of every person in the audience to him. No, it was because he was the only one who entered the stage in a wheelchair. And I thought, this is interesting. It's not a wheelchair class, and some bodybuilding shows do have a wheelchair class. So I just got to see how this is going to play out. And that's basically what everyone in the audience, I think, was pretty much thinking. What is the deal here? Well, it got played out by Poche standing up out of the wheelchair in line with everyone else, doing his quarter turns, doing all the mandatory poses just like everyone else, even if he did move just a little bit slower. This was absolutely baffling to me. Here was a guy who needed a wheelchair to get to and from the stage, appeared to have somewhat of a hard time turning in the quarter turns, and yet he was in fantastic condition and had muscular, ripped legs. And I'd even go so far as to say he had the best legs in his class. Now, if you don't know me all that well, please know that I've been to over 40 competitions in my life, including the Mr. Olympia several times and the Arnold Classic numerous times. I've also competed a few times myself, so I know what makes a great bodybuilder and what makes a great bodybuilder leg. So what was the deal? I just had to know. Now, before I let you hear from Poche, and in his own words, what exactly the deal is, I'll just say this. And again, if you are familiar with bodybuilding competitions, you know there is a night show. And that's where each competitor gets to do a 60-second posing routine to music. Poche again came out in the wheelchair. He gingerly got out, did his routine, which was very good. And before he was even done, every single person in the auditorium were on their feet applauding. You know how at certain events or shows you kind of stand up and give an obligatory standing ovation, but you're kind of doing it only because the person next to you is doing it? Well, that wasn't this. You really just had to be there, but let me tell you, if you had been, your body would not have let you sit down. You would have been unable to sit down. We all had to stand up and cheer. It was that inspirational. And with all of this said, it's time we heard directly from Poche Noel and found out why it's so true that we don't have to exercise, we get to exercise. Poche, welcome to the interview, and thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this with me.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself. Let's start with maybe where you're from. Where are you from?
I am originally from Peoria, Illinois.
Okay. And where do you reside now?
Now I reside in Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Yes.
Well, So you are Pache Noel, and you know, how old are you? How tall are you? Are you married? Do you have kids?
Well, I am 5'9". I'm 39 years old. I'm married. I've been married. I have a wonderful wife of 10 years, Lisa Noel. I have three beautiful children, two little girls and one son. They are 14, 7, and 5.
Okay, great. And, you know, what's your, give us a little bit before we just get into what everybody's dying to know, which is what is the deal. Give us just a little bit of history of, as far as your weight, fitness, athletics, you know, even going back to high school. And when did you begin any kind of a fitness journey?
Well, I started off playing football probably at the age of 9. And primarily, football was my sport. I was pretty good in it. And from football, I mean, I started at 9, went all the way through high school, even had some college offers, played basketball a lot, but right after that, I just chose a different route.
Okay. So the athletics part, went high school to college, and then you chose a different route?
Yes.
And we'll get into this in a little bit more detail, but you went into the military, right?
Yes, I did.
Went into the Navy?
Yes.
Okay. And is that pretty much where the athletic or the real physical fitness stuff kind of took a back seat for a while?
You're absolutely right. It was mainly at lunchtime playing basketball, and that was it. No more football, just concentrating more on basketball. I would lift weights. It would just be maybe 30 minutes a day.
Okay. Well, you already said you're 5'9", and I've already told everyone you competed it quite handily at the Mr. Tennessee Bodybuilding Show. What'd you weigh?
For that competition, I weighed 179.
179.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man, that, you know, that leanness is that typical bodybuilding illusion, because you know you look like you're about 200 pounds on stage. It's just unbelievable. So, all right, let's get everybody up to date here as far as what the deal is and why this was just so inspirational. Please, if you would, tell everyone why you were in a wheelchair as you entered and left the stage.
Well, because I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Okay. So, multiple sclerosis. All right. So, we're going to talk just a bit about kind of what that is. And first, what is it? What does it affect?
Well, it's a chronic neurological disease that basically involves the central nervous system.
Okay.
And it affects your brain, your spinal cord, and your optic nerves.
Okay. So, forgive the ignorance in this question. If it affects the optic nerves, is it common to have for blindness or to have a hard time seeing?
Only when you have an attack.
Okay. Okay. And you've experienced that in some of your attacks as far as the vision and whatnot?
Yes, I have. I've experienced double vision on a few occasions. Even during the competition, I think 3 weeks out, all the way through the competition, my entire left side was completely numb.
Just numb?
Numb. I had,
yeah.
Whether you stuck me with a pen or your finger, I couldn't tell the difference.
I'll be darned. Well, let's back up just a second, because what I want to ask next is, you know, when you first got some indications that something was wrong, and so where were you and when did this happen? And we already said, you said I took a different path, and
mm-hmm.
you joined the Navy.
Yes, I did.
So you served our country in the Navy.
I did.
Why don't you tell us kind of what you were doing there, and you know, how did this come about, or what did you first notice, or you know, what did the Navy find out, or how'd that happen?
Well, I just started experiencing balance problems where I would run and for absolutely no reason just fall over nothing. So once I went to the doctor, you know, it was known then that I had a severe balance problem, like standing on one foot with like my head back, you know, but
If your head was back and you are on one foot, you were very unsteady.
I was very, very unsteady.
And here's somebody who was a top high school football athlete and basketball player. You know,
yes, in my time.
You're right. In the earlier years, that's what's kind of, I'm just guessing, but I don't know, but I would imagine in your mind, it's kind of like, wait a minute here. I have to be coordinated to do football as good as I did it and basketball as good as I do it.
Exactly.
So, you know, so here you were all of a sudden falling or tripping over things that didn't exist and just didn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Now, what year was this, by the way?
When this was in 1994 when I started having problems.
Okay. All right, so keep going then. So you started to notice they were doing some tests on you and found out that
yes.
in certain situations your balance was not good.
Exactly. So what I would do was, I mean, it was taking them a very long time to diagnose me, and my doctor informed me, you know, we've done $1 million workup on you, and we still can't find anything.
Mm.
So what I would do then is I would go to the gym and work out my legs just to see exactly, to pinpoint where the weakness was. And it was in my hamstring.
Okay. Both or?
Basically, more on my left than my right.
Okay.
But it was both.
Okay. So you started to notice that, wait a minute, it's only certain specific things that, you know, I have this weakness.
Exactly.
So did you go back to your doc with that information?
I most certainly did.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing that she could tell me. And it was just continue on with what we're doing. We have a workup, and we'll figure it out eventually.
Okay. So obviously they did. Or what was the straw, or what happened? What had happened with your... you had mentioned, and we talked just very briefly yesterday
mm-hmm.
to set up this interview, but you had mentioned something about you lost the heel to toe. So I don't know when that came about. So
that was a few years later, but
okay.
the final straw was, okay, we're going to give you a lumbar puncture.
Mm-hmm.
So I go down, I do that, and then I believe that was in September of 1996. It was a definitive diagnosis of multiple sclerosis.
Okay. Now, before that, I'm just trying to get
mm-hmm.
a little bit of a mindset here.
Okay.
You're in the Navy.
Yes.
Full of men. There's women around, too, but it's
yes.
full of men.
Yes.
On a ship?
No, I wasn't on a ship.
Stateside.
I was at Naval Weapons Station, Seal Beach.
Okay. And so you were an athlete in high school,
yes.
in college,
yes.
and which means, again, as we say, strength, coordination, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is being diagnosed, but I'm trying to think of what was going through your mind. How did you experience the day to day? You know, as before you were diagnosed, not knowing what was what, where you were incredibly talented and strong and athletic, and now. What were the daily challenges? I mean, did you feel embarrassed? How did you feel when this was going on? Did anybody say anything to you? Were they looking at you funny? How did that go?
Well, basically, it was such a slow process.
Okay.
That it didn't all of a sudden surprise me. It was slow. Even when I woke up first thing in the morning, I would always get myself together and go right outside and run as fast as I could down the sidewalk.
Okay.
Because it was almost like I was tricking myself into thinking that, you know, there's nothing wrong.
Okay.
And I was able to do that. But once I got to a certain point, I started to stumble.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost a delayed reaction.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was very, I just didn't understand it.
Right. So the other guys that you were with every day
mm-hmm.
didn't really notice it.
Well, they did.
Okay.
But nothing much was really said, you know, except, you know, I wonder why they can't figure out what's wrong with you.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so you were lumbar puncture. You are officially diagnosed. Well, what happened then?
Well, I had a meeting with my commanding officer and my executive officer. And just, I can still see the concern on their face when they were talking to me.
Mm.
And the first thing they said was, son, is there anything that we can do for you?
Right.
And at the time, I really didn't know much about multiple sclerosis.
Right.
So I really had nothing to fear. So I said, well, no, sir. Just please don't treat me any different.
Okay.
And it was at that time that he told me, well, we will have to process you out of the military.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when reality started setting in that, man, maybe this is a bad condition.
Mm-hmm. That's the first time it really hit you.
Yes, that's the first time it really hit me, because still, even though I couldn't run, but I was still walking with a limp, I was still able to do my job. I was in the color guard.
Okay.
So we would still go present the colors at different functions, and I was still fine. Even though I would walk with a limp, I was still able to perform my duties, all
right,
except the mile and a half run.
Right.
So, I mean, at that time, I realized that, you know, they're absolutely right. I can't perform all my duties.
Mm-hmm. So the Navy processed you for a medical discharge.
Yes, they did.
And that was that.
Yes, sir.
Out you went. When was that?
I was medically retired in April of 1997.
And that's 90. So you were 30.
Yes, sir.
Medically retired at 30.
At 30.
Yeah. All right. So you come out, and that would have been pretty close to the time where you met your wife.
Yes. She sort of went through the changes with me as I was going through my symptoms and my diagnosis.
Okay.
So, you know, I often asked her, and she said one thing that I complained about a lot was headaches.
Mm.
But once I did get the condition, I have lost a lot of memory.
Oh,
and
a lot. Okay.
She'll tell me things, and I am sitting there like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I did that?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that I have forgotten, a lot of people. I mean, I know faces, but I can't remember names, even high school friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it affects you in ways that you really don't realize until you're faced with it.
Okay. So I'm just trying to get this together here. At 30, you're discharged, so you had met your wife in the Navy.
Yes.
And so so what happened? Did she go with you? Did she stay in?
Well, actually, my wife was a banker.
She was civil, okay.
She was civil, so...
Okay.
All
right, so that wasn't an issue then?
No, that wasn't an issue at all.
Okay. Uh-huh. And, all right, so... So that's it, 1997.
Yes, sir.
So how have things progressed since then with regard to the MS?
Well, I say about three to 4 years ago, I decided that it was time to use my wheelchair. Even though I had one probably since 1997,
okay,
I would never use it.
Okay.
It just sat in the basement, because I've taken several falls. Like, I have a bulging disc, I broke my finger, you know, and my mom came along and she said, you know, sweetie, you know, you're really going to hurt yourself if you don't use something.
Right.
So in my home, I use a walker. But if I leave the house to go to the store, or even when I'm at the gym, I'll use my wheelchair.
Okay. So that was about 3 years ago, you said.
Yeah, about 3 or 4 years ago, yes.
I'm really going to have to use it.
Yes, because I was not helping myself at all.
Right. Getting more injured because
of
falling.
Getting more injured from falling, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, please tell us, if you would, about how, you know, we talked about this just briefly yesterday. You gave an excellent example. But, you know, how does MS affect what so many of us think of as just very simple things in our day-to-day movement? You know, you gave an example yesterday,
right,
and if you could just kind of allude to that.
Right. One thing that I can always remember like it was yesterday is I can remember walking up to a sidewalk, and for the first time in my life, I am standing there and I'm thinking about how am I going to step up on this curve. something that people just do gracefully, just
right.
in stride, just
right.
walk and step on the curve and keep going. I had to stop and get myself together and then take one foot, step up, and almost hop onto the curve.
Right.
And it was then that I said, you know, there is something really wrong with me.
How long ago? When do you think that was?
That was, I would say, 5 years ago.
About 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're so right. You know, as we briefly talked yesterday, I said, you asked me, you said, you know, do you give it any thought if you have to step up onto a curb? I said, you know, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just do it and don't trip. But, I mean, it's like you said, it's just a graceful, you just step right up and you keep moving.
Exactly.
And, I mean, I just think that that really puts a picture on it that most people can really understand and how it changes things.
Yes.
All right. So, this is going on, you're making the changes, decided mm-hmm. a few years back to begin using the wheelchair, but what about lifting and the bodybuilding? Whatever possessed you to compete in bodybuilding, and when did you decide to start training in the gym again?
Well, I would say it was about 6 years ago. I would do it, you know, just to stay in shape, nothing real serious, but because I was retired, I didn't want to just lay around and do nothing. And I also noticed that going to the gym gave me a whole lot more energy.
Okay, right.
So, I mean, it made me feel better about myself.
Okay. And that was about 6 years ago.
So that was about 6 years ago.
Started doing, was it mostly resistance training? Were you able to do any cardio?
I was still able to do cardio. I've always tried to incorporate that in my workout. Anything that's mechanical except the bicycle. Now,
okay.
I can do the elliptical rider, and it's almost natural because if you go one way, you know, the momentum carries.
Right.
And I'm able to put it, I usually put it on, like, level 15,
mm-hmm.
where I don't lose my balance, and I'm able to feel it going all the time.
Right.
And I feel like it gives me more resistance, and it works me more.
Okay. So you were doing, you know, 6 years ago, you were doing some cardio and you were doing some resistance training. You just noticed that you had more energy and you felt better, and you felt better about yourself from it.
Exactly.
So now we got to get to the point where you're at the Mr. Tennessee State Bodybuilding Show. And that doesn't, I mean, you know, people that have been training for a long time never sometimes make the state level bodybuilding shows, and they may dream about it, but they don't get there. And they don't get there, I mean, you look at 99% of people who compete, they aren't going to be standing there with
exactly.
multiple sclerosis. So how did you start to take this extra serious at some point?
I did. Like you, I frequent the Mr. Olympia and the Arnold Classic several, I mean, I've been going for, I say, about consistently 3 years.
Okay.
That did not get me into it, because to look at those guys, you know,
yes.
I'm more frustrated
right.
in my workout than anything.
You bet. You're like looking at them going, oh,
exactly.
I'm
never look like that. So what happened was, I would say about a year and a half ago, I went to a competition, and I looked up on the stage and I said, well,
maybe.
You know, I think maybe I would be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But the only problem was, I never asked anyone if I could wheel myself out and someone take the wheelchair, and because I can stand,
right.
you know, for a limited amount of time, but
okay.
I'll be fine.
Okay.
If it was okay to go up on stage using my wheelchair, and if I'm able to pose.
Right.
So I'd say a year ago, I went to the Mr. Tennessee last year, and I decided, you know, I think I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was only just words.
Okay, it was just words
then.
It was
just words.
Okay. You weren't fully committed.
I really was not fully committed.
Right. Well, something happened here, Pache, because let's go ahead. Just take us all the way here.
Okay.
Something switched.
So what happened was, I always say I told the wrong guy.
Oh. Oh, you told the wrong guy.
I told the wrong guy that I wanted to do the show.
And all of a sudden, the wrong guy said...
And the wrong guy took it to the next level. And he's a friend of mine. His mm-hmm. name is Michael Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty much in shape all the time, but he would never do the contest. He's about 26 years old. He's in phenomenal shape.
Right.
And he's my workout partner, and I said, well, I'm going to do the Mr. Tennessee.
Right.
The next thing you know, we're training. He did everything I did. I'm going to diet with you. I'm going to do your workout. And I said, are you sure? So from there, I started looking different.
Right.
And then I'd say 7 weeks before the competition, I really still was not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the liberty to inquire with a nutritionist.
Right.
And his name was Tony Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of them together, I owe them all the thanks in the world because they're great. They were good. All I had to do was listen. And
right.
It really turned out well.
That's one of the things that great coaches do is they ask you to just be coachable.
Yes.
And ask questions as necessary and just listen to the rest and just do it.
Right.
So, and the other thing, too, you had mentioned just briefly, I think yesterday with these guys, too, is you've mentioned a couple times, you just said, you know, they didn't treat me any differently.
No, they didn't. I mean, when during my training, Mikey, mm-hmm. he is so strict. There is no, if you're doing an exercise wrong, okay, he's going to, you know, you might want to get a lighter weight.
Right.
You know, and I'm trying to keep from, you know, because he's handing me everything I need, so I'm trying not to work him to death.
Right.
So I said, man, I'll just do what you're doing. No,
Yeah.
I'll just get this for you.
Right.
So, you know, that's why I say I had great coaches.
Right.
So everything that I required, it was there, and it really just worked out for the best.
Yeah, you bet.
And no matter what, you know, I remember even my nutritionist. He was also one of my posing coach.
Mm-hmm.
Tony would have me posing for an hour straight,
right,
just to make sure I was going to be able to stand up there and do it.
You bet. Makes perfect sense.
And you know, he said, man, you know, you've been doing this for an hour. And I'm thinking, really?
Yeah.
Huh. And he's a nutritionist for, I'd say, about 6 competitors at the show.
Okay.
And he had never seen me before. And the same comment that you made when we were talking yesterday.
Which is, one? When I said you're a freak. You're awesome.
My legs.
Oh, legs, yeah.
My legs. So he had never seen me. So he said, okay, you know.
Strip down.
Yeah, strip down. Let me see what you got.
Right.
So I took my shirt off, you know. He went. He started pinching. He's, oh, yeah, you know, you're going to look good. You know, your shoulders are nice. Your arms are nice. You look really good.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Let me see what kind of legs you got, Bubba.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So then I sit back in my wheelchair.
Yeah.
And I start to take my sweats off.
Sweats down, yeah.
And during that time, he's talking to another client of his.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time he turns around, I'm standing.
Yeah.
And he looked and he said, are you kidding me? He said, you had this under those sweats?
Right.
I said, well, you know, my legs are kind of big. You know, they just never have gone down. I still work legs.
Right.
He's like, wow. He said, we're going to do good.
Yeah.
I said, you think so? He said, we're going to do really good. I said, wow. You think so? And I'm still here like, you know, am I really doing the show?
Right.
And he looked, he said, man, he said, your legs are awesome.
You know what he wanted to say, and he was saying it, but what he wanted to say was, Poche, hey, thanks for giving me a heck of a thing to work with here. But that's hilarious.
I mean, and that's another reason why I told you yesterday. My friends in the gym don't treat me any different. My leg workout
right.
was probably tougher than my chest workout,
mm-hmm.
because everything he did, my legs were just as strong as his.
Okay,
as far as pressing.
Mm-hmm.
I did everything he did.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things I want to mention, too, is that with Poche being a bodybuilder and being into it as much as he is, you know, one of the things that I just found, I just felt a very strange feeling when I said it, and I just thought, you know what, Pache's a brother in bodybuilding, he gets it. I just want to make sure the listeners get it. When you had said, you had said, well, one of the things you said to me yesterday, and I interrupted you, and I said, what, when I called you a freak or you're unbelievable? And we both, we know in bodybuilding, being brothers in bodybuilding, that
exactly.
When we say that someone's a freak, we mean it very endearingly.
Exactly.
And it has nothing to do, I want to make sure this is clear, this has nothing to do, and I think people get it, it has nothing to do with EMS or anything.
Right.
When we say, man, that guy's a freak.
It is a compliment.
It's a compliment.
Yes, and I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
So let's for just a second, because we did go with the legs, and I had to ask you yesterday in just our very brief conversation, mm-hmm. I said, I can't stand it. I can't stand it, because as I was sitting and prejudging, I was looking at, you know, a close friend next to me, and, you know, we're looking at each other, and I'm like, how does this guy get the legs he's got when he has, a little bit of trouble, you know, standing and turning, and
mm-hmm.
the mobility's down a little bit. How does he get those legs? And you just told me yesterday, I asked you, what can you do? So why don't you tell everybody, what can you do?
Okay. I can do leg extensions.
Okay.
With quite a bit of weight.
Okay.
I do squats on the Smith machine because I don't have to worry about my balance.
Right.
I can do leg presses. Again, I'm sitting. I don't have to worry about my balance.
Right.
Hack squats. I'm locked in, so there's no balance issue. I can do calf raises as long as I'm standing.
Right.
Now, I can't get in the calf machine, the one that you sit and put your legs under. That one I can't do at all.
I'll be darned.
But the only exercise that I cannot do is hamstrings. I can't lay down flat on the floor and even raise. I can raise my right leg probably about 4 inches.
Okay.
But my left leg may come up on a great day 1 inch.
Now, are you talking on your back?
No,
as I'm laying
on my belly.
So as you try to curl.
As I try and curl, it won't move.
It just won't move.
It just won't move at all.
Okay.
And if you pull, even my training partner, Mikey, he would even pull my leg up and say, okay, just resist, and I'll just push it down.
Right.
There was no resisting.
Okay.
It was just bam,
okay.
Right down.
Right. So you can do Smith machine squats,
yes.
Leg extensions,
yes.
Leg press.
Yes.
And that's the core of the leg work.
Pretty much.
But, you know,
that is the core.
But, you know, if I was telling somebody who had full functionality and no MS, I would be telling them primarily, whether it's Smith machine or free weight, I'd be telling them, look, you want to build great legs, you got to squat, you got to do leg press,
exactly.
And feel free to throw in leg extensions. You
exactly.
know, absolutely. So it's great that you've still got those core moves that you can, you know, at least do, and you've adapted to them. It's great.
Yeah.
Well, how many days a week do you train with weights, and how do you split that up?
I would say five.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's your body part split?
My body part split is usually chest on Monday, back on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I'll do shoulders. On Thursday is the only day where I'll do two body parts. I'll do bicep and tricep. Even at the end of my chest workout on Monday,
mm-hmm.
I'll finish by doing one set of burnout tricep exercises. I'll just pick out an exercise and I'll burn out on it.
Okay.
And the same on back day. I'll find a bicep machine and I'll just drop set one time all the way to negative.
Right.
And that'll be it.
Okay.
And on Friday, today, I did the wonderful legs.
Leg day.
But even Saturday, I'll go in and I'll do cardio. And I'll always start with, on an empty stomach, at least 30 to 45 minutes of cardio.
Okay. Now, is cardio a one-day-a-week thing? Is it before each resistance training workout, or how do you do your cardio?
I do cardio 6 days a week.
Oh, okay. Okay. And, like, how many sets do you normally do for the big body parts, like chest, or do you do the same number of sets for all body parts, or how many sets do you normally do?
Well, usually it just depends on how I feel.
Okay.
And I would say during the competition, I was doing at least 30 sets.
Like 30 sets of chest?
30 sets of chest, easy.
Right.
Because everything was to a negative.
Okay.
And then once I got closer to the competition, the weight was so light that, you know, I'm going slow.
Okay.
And everything is to a stop and a squeeze.
Okay.
That a lot of times I don't even count. I'll lose count.
Right.
Until I feel like, you know what, I've accomplished something, I was there. And it was nothing. It's nothing for me to stay at the gym for 3 hours.
Oh.
I'm retired.
I mean,
plus, after cardio, I'm going to rest.
Right.
And what I would do is I would eat, like, a grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would, you know, sit, wait, and then I'd start my workout.
Got it. How long was each workout? Well, you say you're in the gym for 3 hours.
At least.
Your resistance training workout might be an hour and a half?
At least an hour and a half.
At least an hour
because
and a half.
Because a lot of times I use my wheelchair in the gym.
Right.
As a shopping cart.
Oh.
Because it's going to take me longer to get from place to place.
Right.
Because I'm going to, you know, walk slowly behind my wheelchair instead of sit down.
Right.
So, and that's why I always say, you know, I just want to be treated like everyone else.
Right.
Yeah, especially when you get on that stage, you're equal. Once I get up, I'm just like them.
Well, that was it. I mean, the thing is that, you know, what it catches your eye, of course, when you come out in the wheelchair. But like I said in my intro here, you stood up and you were in line. That's it.
Right.
And that's it. Once you stand up in line, then it's all of a sudden you become exactly like everybody else. The only thing that's going to really make you pop is what you built.
Exactly.
Yeah. How about, you know, eating-wise? What's easier for you, the workouts or the food as you were cutting down and stripping this body fat off?
I would say the working out was easier.
Okay.
But once you really cut back on your carbs, I think it was all hard.
Oh, yeah, because the workouts get harder.
Exactly, because I started calling my nutrition. I said, wait a minute. I barely was able to do, you know, 45 minutes today, and technically on paper I'm supposed to do an hour.
Right.
I said, man, I'm barely doing 45 minutes. Am I losing ground here?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, you know, we cut the carbs and this and that and the other. You're going to get weaker. You're going to get, you know,
right.
You're going to lose your energy. And I mean, it became frustrating, but I mean, I can't wait for next year to start.
Right, right. Did you use, I always make this just a very tiny part of any of the interviews, but, you know, in bodybuilding, it's very common, and we do use at least the basics, but did you use any supplements? And you don't have to go by brand, but generally speaking, you know, if you used any, what'd you use?
I used protein and glutamine.
Protein and glutamine?
Yes.
Plus, you probably used a multivitamin?
I did use a multivitamin, and
that's about it.
That was pretty much it.
Okay. Oh, boy, that's the basics there.
That was definitely the basics, and I don't think it was until my last 7 weeks before I started taking the multivitamin.
Now, what about even something that has become a performance basic? Because I don't know how it would affect in a negative or positive way with MS, but what about even just a very basic proven supplement like creatine? No?
I did start. Once you go on these things, you have to cut it out at a certain level.
Right.
I did start out my workout with a creatine.
Okay.
I started with that.
Okay.
And that, you know, I didn't like the fact that I was gaining so much weight because it put so much water on.
The water weight, right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I couldn't wait to stop because I felt like, oh, man, you know, because when I started, I think I was about 206 pounds when I started.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were beefy.
Yeah, so.
You were beefy. And I
was going nowhere fast with the creatine.
Okay, yeah, that's it's.
But I was really, really strong and had a lot of energy.
Right, right. Well, you know, you've mentioned it several times today, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but, you know, you're a very modest man, and how. We've talked about, you know, how you want others to think of you. Would you explain how you think of yourself with regard to the MS and how you like others to think of you and treat you?
Well, I look at it like this. I feel like I have a disability. I have recognized that. But I feel like I am no different than anyone else at the gym, other than the fact that I'm not walking. And like we talked about yesterday, I feel sorry for children or people who are really confined with this condition or any condition.
Mm-hmm.
That my heart goes out to them more than anything, because like we talked about before, I was in the military for 11 years,
mm-hmm.
and basically I've been around the world. I've done a lot.
Right.
I have done a lot. So that's why I say, you know, I may have a wheelchair, but, you know, let's disregard that and move on with the conversation or whatever we're doing.
Right.
Because right. I don't recognize it that much. It's a part of me, but I don't recognize it as much as I should.
Well, that's an outstanding attitude, Pache, and a tremendous perspective with everything you've got going on. And where to from here in bodybuilding? What are your future plans?
My future plans, Dave, is next year I plan on being better than I've ever been in my life. This experience was the most overwhelming, it was the best I've ever experienced in my life. With the people that I've met, the people that I've touched by doing it, I feel like I owe them to do better. And I owe myself. This time I'm going to practice and try and win. This year I just wanted to compete. But next year I'm actually going to try and win.
That's unbelievable. Well, let's just get that, make sure we've got it on record here. How many people were in your class?
I believe it was about 8.
That's what I was thinking. And what did you end up placing?
I ended up placing in the Mr. Tennessee 3rd place.
Well, you know, I remember at the night show when they gave the awards, and, in prejudging, again, being to so many shows, that's why I said early on, I said, not only does this guy deserve to be there, he's going to place high.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 3rd place in your class at the Mr. Tennessee or any good quality state level bodybuilding show is awesome. You know, I mean, that's a high level show.
Right.
And so that's just outstanding. Well,
I'm very grateful for everything.
You know, there's a lot of people who are probably going to have a really good workout after listening to this.
Well, I hope so.
So let's just close with this. What advice, because I deal a lot with people that are, you know, looking to make a body transformation. They
mm-hmm.
may or may not ever want to compete in a show.
Right.
In any way, shape, or form. But they, a lot of times, are looking to make a change from some place where they are not physically so good to some place a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've given themselves a lot of times a lot of excuses or given themselves a lot of reasons why they can't start or why they maybe can't do it.
Right.
You know, a lot of self-imposed limitations. But I want to hear from you, and I'm going to let you have the final word on that.
Okay.
You know, what advice, you know, would you give to the person who might hear this later, who's thinking about their second or their 15th attempt at weight loss or a body transformation?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them?
I would say be determined and believe in yourself.
That's simple, but amazingly powerful.
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Believe in yourself.
You have to be determined.
And be determined. Because there's going to be, whether it's something that we don't see in bodybuilding a lot,
mm-hmm.
at least as far as competitive, you know, which is, you know, multiple sclerosis, there's going to be other obstacles in the way.
Right.
Just life.
Exactly.
And you had all that stuff going on just the same, too.
I always say, Dave, that we all go through something.
Right.
But it's up to us to get over it.
Yeah.
We all deal with it differently, but we can all overcome.
You've got a great attitude, Pache. It's been an amazing interview. I am so very grateful to have at least come to know you at this level and to be able to interview you and for you to spend time with us today. You are a true inspiration. And as I said early on, anybody that was there, if you had been there, if you ever get a chance, it was truly inspirational. And I can tell you firsthand that I've been doing this for 24 years, and there's not a doubt in my mind, because I remember it. I've had workouts since that show that have been more inspired and harder when I've thought of what you've had to go through
mm-hmm.
to get what you've built. And I've seen my own training partners also be inspired when we came back home, who also have been training for 24, 25 years, have better workouts and do better when we think of all that we have that we take for granted and are so fortunate to have. And, you know, what you were able to share and how you make people feel when, in a good way, when we see what you are able to overcome and accomplish having a disability, as you say, you know, like you have. So I just want to thank you, and I wish you the very best. I hope that we can follow up and keep in touch with how you progress and what goes on. And I don't know. Maybe we're going to see you on TV. Maybe we're going to hear you on radio. I don't know, but I got a feeling we haven't heard the last of you yet.
Well, I just want to say thank you very much for your kind words and allowing me to share my story. And I hope that someone, I reach someone with it.
There's not a doubt in my mind.
But I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Pache, and have a great day.
Thank you very much, you too.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Club Lifestyle, or to take a free 30-day test drive as a member, just visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.leannesslifestyle.com. Make sure you check out the many other success stories we have available through our podcasting and success gallery area of our website.